Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, good morning, good morning, good morning. You are tuned in to the Global Vision for Living Today show. I'm Marcia. God bless you all for tuning in. Listen, we are hot, hotter than fish grease because, listen, I've gotten so many texts, emails, you name it, because people are saying, hey, your topic, why does God not answer my prayers, part two, has got me scared. I think you guys, you guys, hey, you onto something. And of course we're onto something. We're onto something because, number one, we are told to lift up and praise, glorify, and honor the name of God. And this show, since it is based on a Bible topic, strategy, then here we are again with why does God not answer my prayers? You know, people all over the world are praying, they're crying when they pray, they're running while they pray, they're saying, I'm praying to become number one in the Olympics, I'm praying for this, I'm praying for that. But we're going to, in part two, really stress what prayer really is all about and why all people on this earth has been admonished to pray. Now, all day and all night, people are saying, all I do is pray. The more I pray for good health, the worse I get. The more I pray for my finances, the broker I seem to get. The more I pray for food, shelter, and clothing, the more I seem to lack. What is the problem? What are the reasons why my prayers do not seem to get God's attention? Does he seem not to even care about me? Well, we're jumping right into the show to answer that. We have with us again Colonel Dr. William Harrison. I know you guys. He's been having some glitches in his, I guess, tuning in to our session. But are you with us today again, Colonel William Harrison?
Yes, I am. Good morning, Dr. Coppertina, and listening audience. It's just good to be here again. Yes, I am. God bless. Good to be on the air again.
Sure is, because I know that many people want to hear what you have to say, because we have thousands that tune in to hear what that said the Lord out of our mouth. But here, let's start this show off. Why does God not answer the prayers of many that say they fall down on their knees, they write their prayers down, and all manner of things to get God's attention? What is the problem?
Well, the problem, several problems, Dr. Coppertina, listening audience. One of the main problems is that if our prayers do not glorify God, does not build God up, does not edify God, does not reverence God, then God's not going to hear our prayers. That's one problem. Our prayers have to, number one, glorify God. Number two, if our prayers are selfish, it's just something I want, I don't care about nobody else, my neighbors or nobody else in the world, nobody in the workplace, nobody in the community, nobody in my family. Selfish prayers, God doesn't hear those because they don't glorify God. And the third one that comes to mind is that we must have a relationship with God for God to hear our prayers. So our prayers don't glorify God, our prayers are selfish, and then also we must have a relationship with God. So I want to present those first.
Well, you're coming in talking like a stallion, because, oh my God, I had to sit and stay in this chair, because you are right. You hit it on the nail. They don't glorify God. And if you don't, I'm about to sneeze. Okay, and if you don't glorify God, what are you going to him for? That's not your purpose. You know, people start up, hey, God, you know, I need this, I want that. God, hear me now. But most of the time, if you go before a judge, if you go before your daddy, if you go before your mama, you know, there is an approach. You have first got to approach God believing that he really is. And if you believe that he really is, you're going to be humble. You're going to praise him first. He says, put me first. Bible says we're to honor God and put him first. Then, of course, that is what God expects. Not, no, hello, God, I need $20, you know, toward my life bill. We've got to go to God in humbleness. And as Colonel Harrison said, We have got to believe that he is and, of course, glorify him and his holy name. Psalms 83:18 calls that holy name Jehovah. Look it up, King James Version. We're not making it up. Read it for yourself. So if a person wants God to hear them and say whatever prayer they have, at least listen to it. Almighty God. Almighty God, in the name of Jesus, you are the most holy God over all the universe. You are God worthy to be praised, and on and on and on. You're going to get God's attention, putting him first before your prayer, praising his holy name. We are admonished to praise the name of the Lord. And so I think Colonel Hanson is right on it. That is number one. Now I'm going to jump in here and add my two cents in here. Most of the people that pray are praying, trying to tell God what to do, rather than say, if it is in your will, God, I ask this, that, and the other. If it is part of your will, God, if it's something you want me to do, oh, holy God, if it's something that you don't think I have this, that, and the other, God first. We must put God first and make sure whatever our prayer is about, we're not coming to God to tell him what to do, going to the hospital, going to the walk-in clinic, go here, go there. We want to tell God what to do. We need to stop that, because that could be a reason why God does not answer prayers. And another thing, Colonel Harrison, let's go here. Many prayers are really not in harmony with God's purpose for their lives. Can you kind of expound on that?
Yes, harmony, Dr. Compton, the absolute right, means that harmony means that we must be in agreement with God, with what God will is for our lives. I might pray for $1 million, but that may not be in God's will for my life, because God knows my heart and my mind, and he knows if he gives me $1 million and I'm going to squander it, then how is that going to bless me, bless his kingdom, bless other people? It's just a foolish waste of time. So harmony means our prayer must be in agreement with God, and prayers are solemn requests, a sincere request, an earnest request unto God. And God wants to, the Bible says that God inherits the praises of his people, and when prayer is sincere, when prayer is fervent, when prayer is righteous and prayer is true, God hears and honors the prayers of those who are true, who are righteous, and who are sincere, not those of us who are selfish.
Oh, my God. You hit it right there on the nail. And, you know, I've got a shiver there, because most of the prayers, as you just mentioned, are selfish. They have nothing to do at all with God's will, God's purpose for man on earth, what God has admonished man to do, and what God has said they ought to do, we ought to do. You hit that on the nail. That is so true. But then I'm going to add this to it. A lot of people, when they pray and they wonder why, hey, he ain't hearing me, he's going to answer my prayer. God says that we really must be worthy in his name. We must not give in to the God of Satanism and follow the way of the world and expect Jehovah, that God, to do anything. We must be worthy. And if we're not worthy, we can always go to God about that. Now, I'm pretty sure he's going to answer that. If we want to be worthy in his name, to do more for God here on earth, to honor his name before the heathen on earth, we've got to be worthy within ourselves. Have we done what we know God has already asked us to do before we go to him begging? Have we as a people, as a person, as an individual, made up in our heart's mind that we want to follow God's son, the one whom he sent forth, Jesus Christ? Have we done that? Have we made it up in our mind, soul, that we are going to do what God has asked us to do, whether we know it all or not? Some say, you know what, you know, Doc, I'm not going to have time to really read the Bible, so I don't want to start none that I know I can't finish. Well, what else are you doing? Why are you doing what else you are doing? So, Colonel Harrison, what does it mean to be worthy in the sight of God?
Worthy in the sight of God means that we are, God is pleased with us. God is satisfied with us, how we live in our lives, how we treat other people, how we go about our daily chores. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, first we are to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul, and secondly, love thy neighbor thyself. So when I pray, my prayer has to, number one, it has to glorify and edify God and reverence God, and then number two, for my neighbor. And then after that, whatever my need might be, I should offer up a prayer for my personal needs. But we must understand that prayer is powerful. Jesus' half-brother, one of his half-brothers, James, says the sincere, righteous prayer of those that are serving God causes much to happen in the earth. Now, we have to believe that. If you don't believe that, then it's not going to work for you. So I wanted to say that and add that to what you just asked me about.
Well, you know what? You hit it again on the nail, because this God that we're praying to and talking about, he wants obedience. You know, he doesn't want anyone coming to him to get any prayers, answers, and they're running amok on earth. They're a problem. They have no real feeling for the human race. How are we going to obey God and we don't love our brother? How are we going to obey God and we're planning to kill somebody in prison? How are we going to obey God if we don't know anything about the God? Just, oh, well, you know what? I'm at my last. I'm at my last of everything. So I guess I'm going to try to, you know, say a prayer or two and see what happens. We've got to come to God, Colonel Hanson, believing that he is and that he is the rewarder of all those that seek him. But again, there's some prerequisites. You're not going to get out of jail until you've done your time. You're not going to get out the hospital until the doctor say you well enough to walk up out of here. You are not going to walk out the grocery store with 3 or 4 baskets of food and you ain't paid for it. There's always a prerequisite. So when we talk about prayers not being answered, does a person really have in mind obeying God? And they say, oh, obey God. I don't know how to obey this God. How do I do that? Colonel Harrison, can you answer that for us? How does a person show God that he's going to obey God, or he's already in the act of obedience to God?
Well, first, they have to search for God, seek God through prayer. And get to know who God is, God Jehovah, the Psalm 83:18, God, that man may know that God, my name God, who is Jehovah, is the most high of all the earth. We got to get to know who he is. Once we get to know who he is, we search for him through the Bible. We can search for him through audio tapes. We can search for him through preachers and teachers and establish a relationship with him. As you said earlier, Dr. Capitina, we have to put God first in our lives. In order to put him first in our lives, I got to, for myself, get to know who he is. And the scripture says, know that I am God, and beside me there is none other. So we got to get to know who he is. Once we know who he is, then you will reverence him. You will respect him. You will humble yourself before him, and he will hear your prayers. He will hear your cry. He'll hear your plea. But you got to get to know him.
You got, oh, my God, that is so important. But you know what? While we're talking about getting to know this God, I've heard people talk like this about the Son of God. He wasn't no God. He wasn't no Savior. He was a man just like me. And, of course, you know, I don't think that person is on alcohol when he told me that. He said, but he's a God just like me. He can do no more than I can. I mean, just really, really crazy things. So let's kind of flip the scripture for a moment and talk about the Son of God, because the Son of God said no one can get to the Father. Your prayer can't get to him. Your goodwill from your heart can't get to him. What you got to say about it is not going to bring you closer to him unless, according to scripture, you go through the one that he sent forth. Let's talk about this one called Jesus the Christ. He said, no one can get to the Father except through me. So how would our prayers be affected, Colonel Hassan, if we don't acknowledge and honor also and praise the Son of God?
That speaks to John 3:16. A lot of people hear that scripture, St. John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, and his name in heaven was the Word, sent him to the earth, born in the womb of a virgin named Mary during the first century to seek and save mankind who was lost and to save mankind from sin, death, hell, and destruction. And his name is Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And so unless we accept God's Son, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior, then we will continue to have trials and tribulation. We'll continue to have hardship. We'll continue to be discouraged. We'll continue to be depressed. And the world will continue to be in a turmoil. Jesus is God's Son. He wasn't a prophet. He is the Son of God. The Bible says so.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. We are on a roll this morning. Now, let's talk about this. There's people that are saying, you know, you're talking about this Jehovah God, and now you're harping about his Son. What about all the other gods that are out there? The Hindus are worshiping their God. Those over in Saudi Arabia, they have a form of worship there. Certainly not Christianity, because they'll be heads if you come over there talking about Jesus the Christ. There's others, the Zoroastrians. You have, according to research, there's over 300 major religions, and they're all worshiping different gods. How do we set Jesus Christ in amongst all those people that are worshiping gods that do not go through him? So obviously, if they're worshiping other gods that is not called by the Psalm 83:18 named God, Jehovah, how does a person in retrospect when they pray and they say, no, I'm not praying to that God, but I'm praying to my God. How could we answer someone like that making that claim? I'm praying, but I'm not praying to Jehovah. I'm praying. I'm not praying through and of the name of Jesus Christ. I know my prayers is going to get through. How would we answer a person like that?
I would answer them this way, Doc. Number one, I would refer them to read the New Testament part of the Bible, the four Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They'll find that God's Son did live. He lived on earth for 33 years, and that he was crucified, and he was buried, and that God raised him from the dead after 3 days. Jesus Christ is the only Lord of lords and King of kings. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism that has been risen from the dead. Those other gods that are man-made gods, that the founders and organizers of those various denominational religions are still in the grave. They're still dead. Jesus is the only one that has gotten up from the dead and the grave. And he's alive today, seated to the right hand of the Father in heaven. So you can read it for yourself in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In the gospel, Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto God the Father but by me. So it is written, and we must obligate ourselves to believe it.
Oh, my God, Colonel Hassan, I don't know if you eat in your Wheaties or what. You got a double portion. My father used to talk about, you know what? That was sitting over there in that corner, need a double portion of God's spirit. And I guess he was saying, oh, my God, you know, something's going on with him. Thank you so much. Thank you so very much for your explanation. My God, whatever you had for breakfast this morning, send me some of it. Hallelujah. You are so honored. Because people, they even in the days of the apostles, they was running after this one. People were possessed with this form of unknown gods. It was heavy, especially the days of the Romans. It was heavy worship of other gods, because back then they had a temple called a temple there in Athens. And They had the Mars Hill where Paul preached. They had what they called the Iconian. And they said there were many gods. Paul stressed this, thousands and thousands of gods. But he brought it all the way down to the one creator and the one whom sent his son, Jesus Christ. And we see the same thing in our time. People are worshiping everything. Gods. Excuse me, I debite my tongue. They are worshiping not according to God's rules and regulations. And that's why the apostles walked in behind Jesus Christ, the disciples, and they learned. After he passed off the scene, they became apostles. And 30, 40 years later, here we have Paul. Colonel Harrison, did any of these come with the new message after Christ was crucified? After he was gone, couldn't see him, couldn't feel him, could not touch. Did they come with a different gospel? What did they do after the crucifixion of Christ?
The 11 of the original 12 disciples of Jesus preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. They preached about his virgin birth. They preached about his life in Nazareth, of the country of Galilee. They preached about his works. They preached about his baptism. They preached about the miracles that he performed. And Jesus became more popular after his three-day death than he did when he was alive for 33 years. And so those disciples were on fire. And it's in Matthew chapter 28 that go ye therefore baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that they may observe all things that I have said unto thee. So it is written, and all we got to do is just follow the script and believe, and you will receive, and your prayers will be answered, and God will lift you up. And God will lift you up from your plight. He'll lift you up from your poverty. He'll lift you up from your drugs. He'll lift you up from alcoholism. He'll lift you up from depression. If you believe and trust in him that God did send a son, and the son's name is Jesus.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. If we never show up on this show again, hey, I will remember this. You are so right. Now, since we know that those 11, as you mentioned, walked and ate with Jesus Christ, and they washed each other's feet, and they took their baths, showers naked, and walked, and they had to see all that. Walking with Jesus for 3 years like that, they saw it all, they heard it all. But now here we are today. There's no Jesus on earth here for us to walk behind and follow. There's no Jesus to turn around and maybe slap us down, say, give me a piece of that lamb. There's not that. So how is the modern day man in 2022 supposed to react from a prayer and then at the end of the prayer and say, in the name of Jesus, so be it. Amen. How easy would it be for someone to say, well, I don't see Jesus on earth. I surely don't see Jehovah God on earth. So what am I supposed to do? You know, I'm feeling funny just getting down on my knees praying and saying some words, and then I got to say in the name of Jesus. I'm not sure I can do that because, as we just mentioned, you know, many are serving all kind of gods, just like they were back then in the days of Jesus. How can a person react to what he knows and what he's heard and what he's heard preached in some of the churches? How is he supposed to react when we are talking about a person not getting their prayers answered? They're going to church, they're doing everything. So you mentioned it earlier, but tell us again, what is the key to getting our prayers answered by the one called Jehovah?
The key to getting our prayers answered by God, Jehovah, Psalm 83:18, God, is to get to know who God is. The Bible outlines for us, the 66 books of the Holy Bible outlines for us about the Godhead, God the Father, the first person of the Godhead, Jesus Christ the Son, the second person of the Godhead, and the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead. And the first 39 books of the Bible speaks of God, Jehovah. The last 27 books called the New Testament speaks of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. So now the Holy Spirit is on the earth. God is in heaven on the throne in heaven. Jesus in heaven seated to the right hand of the throne. But the Holy Spirit is on earth interceding for mankind. And all we have to do for the Holy Spirit to make himself present in our lives, because he's within us, is accept God's Son, Jesus Christ, as our personal Lord and Savior. So we do have the third person of the Godhead here on earth called the Holy Spirit. We have to tap into that through God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son.
Okay, but that's certainly right. You have hit it on the nail. Now, I want to also digress for a moment. As many of you know, Colonel Harrison and some of his friends from and within Washington, D.C. were able to take advantage of our Battleground America program. If any of you missed it, if any of you want to have a picture to, you can send that request to MotherNature7@gmail.com. They did a great job. And, of course, we have not stopped the process, because right now we're going to have, and it's, I think it's next week, but watch your emails, because we're going to have another follow-up symposium of what is the future of the black race in America. There's a lot going on with the black man. There's still a lot of racial division. There's still a lot of everything that would keep man from going to the God, the Psalm 83:18 God, in the name of Jesus Christ. So I want to hear and see, and I know Colonel Harrison wants to hear and have a portion in this. And I want all of you, we don't know if it's going to be Zoom or conference, but just keep watching your emails. And, of course, if you tune in next week, we'll have more of the details. But God bless you. Thank you so much, Colonel Harrison. You really socked it to all of us with your comments. God bless you and your ministry. We hope you have a great weekend. And remember, if God can't do it, don't you try. Don't you, that's Bishop Mims. If God can't do it, don't you try. And we know God can do all things but fail. Thank you. Have a great weekend. We will look to hear from you. See you in spirit next week, same time, next place, on the Global Vision for Living Today show. God bless you.